Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection, our hearts are full of thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're here again for spiritual gifts. Let's see what we can cover, the grounds we can cover this evening. God will with me to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see what we have there. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, I'm going to read all the way. So look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spirituals, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, right? It's given to every man to profit with all. So it says, for to one, verse 8, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, another word of knowledge, same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gift of healings by the same Spirit, gifts of healing. Verse 10 now says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but all this worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as wills. Now, we've been looking at the spiritual gifts for the past let's say 6-7 weeks now, and we've paid attention to a few things. Now, we said that from the writings of Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, between verse 8 and 11, we can choose to categorize the gifts of the Spirit into three segments. We can choose to categorize the gifts of the Spirit into three segments. We have one, we have the utterance gifts. I would say the utterance gifts will include tongues, to include interpretation and prophecy, and then we'll have the revelation gift, and I'll say that will be the gift that deals with revealing, right? So it deals with word of knowledge, word of wisdom, also discerning of spirits. Then also we have the power gifts. I would say the power gift, we have the working of miracles, the gift of healing, as well as the gift of faith. And it's very important for us to note that, you know, these categories or these things that we've written out or we've spoken about just now, gives like a summation, right, of the gifts of the Spirit that Paul would speak about to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians. Now, we said that Paul as well in 1 Corinthians had mentioned to the Corinthians that, well, they didn't come behind in any of the gifts. That means the Corinthian church was a supernatural church by position and by practice. To get that, they were a supernatural church by position and also by practice, but Paul still deemed them fit to say to them and say to them again and again that they should not be, you know, ignorant. Excuse me. Right, that they should not be ignorant regarding the things of the Spirit, so to say. So we looked at the utterance gifts from previous years. Now this year, you could tell that we're paying attention more to the revelation gifts, what you call the word of knowledge and word of wisdom. I'll just give you a quick recap from one of the things we said on Sunday. And we said that when it comes to word of knowledge, it deals a lot with information and facts. More often than not, it's very informative. So you can have a knowing. Yeah, it's about a knowing. You can have a knowing around situations, circumstances. You can know what people are going through, right, through the eyes of the Spirit. You can know, you know, things or details about people. You can know conversations. You can know past events, right, or present going ongoing circumstances, really, about people. And in the real sense, we say that that usually serves as a primary form what you call a foundation or a pre, right, to a word of wisdom. Not always that really, but usually, like I would say, when we minister a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, sorry, we don't end there, because all we do with word of knowledge basically is to bring out information, bring out facts, you know, and talk about some conditions and circumstances that people might not have even shared with any other human on earth. You only know those facts by revelation or by the Spirit. So you can know about things that are taking place or things that have taken place in the past. You can know about whereabouts, you can know about conditions, you can know about, you know, different things, different acts. You can even see ahead things that will happen, right? Or from the angle of things that are happening, or things, you know. So you could just the point is, you can see through the eyes of the Spirit, right? So you are not ordinary. That's the fact about that's the point about the believer. So the believer is not ordinary. You see, you could know sicknesses, you could know things, you know. There's some sicknesses that, you know, even if doctors are very great people and doctors are lovely, you know, and medicine is not against, or, you know, sometimes a lot of us as Christians, we think it's either supernatural or medicine. But more often than not, really, you need to understand that, you see, medicine is not anti-supernatural, or it's not anti-gospel, right? So, you know, you need to just ensure that you have a firm grip of God's word so that you can have a say and understanding as to the help that medicine can provide to you. So you can have several information about people. You can know people's family names, names of their family members, names of their parents, names of their uncles, names of their friends. You know, it's just something that can, you can know dates, you can know things that happened on dates, or things that are happening right now. You know, we've said over and over, giving practical sessions, you know, some of our teachings as well, I've brought to our four consciousness as well, some of the things, you know, that, you know, would have experienced as a local church, as well as, you know, in our ministerial, you know, life for the past few years, you know. And it's just the reason why I say it and say it and say it again is just to bring to remembrance that it's possible, right? Yeah, so we also have the practical sessions, you know, like I said, on Sunday we'll come fully ready to engage in a lot of practice, right? But ensure that you get your heart in the best of places, right, to remind yourself of who you are, remind yourself of what you have, what you can do, right, so that we don't come to church on Sunday and start whining ourselves. You know I'm using that phrase like a desiccale, right? So we're not like listed generators, or, you know, where we have to whine, no, right? We can just jump into the flow on Sunday, right? So we can come for that meeting on Sunday. So we said that, you know, we looked through the scripture as well. We went to the writings of the prophets and saw some examples of what to call word of key, right? Things about, or facts about, you know, people, you know, things that I lost, you know. And you know, it was something that we did on Sunday as much as the previous services, right? You know, so one of the things you must also do as well is that you will ensure that you don't put yourself in a position to impress. You know, I just said what I said now intentionally, because I know I've said it over and over and over again. The goal is not to impress. The goal is not to show off. Right? The goal is to exhibit God's love. Right? The goal is to exhibit God's love. You know, I've had situations where I minister to people, and maybe weeks or days after, hours after, they come back and tell me, like, that was what I needed to hear. Right? That was what I needed to, you know, that was what I felt like I needed to remind myself of, you know. So it's just to ensure that we bring exhortation, edification, you know, comfort, you know, like Paul would teach. Yeah, so you can know about secrets, know about events, you know. If you look at the world of knowledge, a lot of times it sort of, you know, might have a common ground with discerning of spirits, or discernment generally. Yeah, so it has those, you know, affiliations. That's why you so went through scriptures about people lying, you know. And you know, one of the things that you need to ensure you don't get yourself to do anywhere you find yourself in the world is not to lie to your pastor, right? Generally, is it good to lie? No, you shouldn't even be found lying at all, you know. But the truth is that if let's like I would say, if at all, or let's assume that you allow the devil to have a grip, over your heart, over your decisions and all of those things, or influence your decision, right? Ensure that you are well aware of yourself, not to, because we've seen across scriptures, it will be very, a lot of times we would, what we call what folks, we like to read the Bible partly and try to explain things away. Yeah, we try to explain things away, and it's something that even for myself, I'm trying to be extra careful as a pastor to ensure that we are teaching the wholesome counsel of God and the entirety of God's word. Yeah, so you've seen examples of, we could go on and on of, men of God, pastors, the word is not pastors, men of God, so to say, prophets in scriptures, who people did, terrible things to them, and, things happened to them. You see, your lessons to get from there in the real sense is just to ensure that you don't need to keep, start explaining yourself away and start trying to say, we know you are righteous, but don't lie. Do you understand? I said something during local church here. I said about how we're in a generation right now where a lot of people want to hear, or where some of us feel like what we need to teach. For instance, I used the story of Joseph. Yeah, there's a Joseph who, did something terrible. Who did nothing terrible, but Potiphar's wife lied on him, and eventually things boomeranged and it didn't go out well. And now it's good to see that Joseph forgave. Yes, it is a good Bible teaching. In fact, the entire crux of the Christian faith is on forgiveness. Right? So it's good Bible teaching as well to see that, Joseph forgave. So it means that for you as a disciple listening to me, or for you as a believer listening to me, if anybody does anything to you in the likes of what Potiphar's wife did, ensure that you forgive. That's beautiful. In fact, there's no other way to teach that's proper Bible doctrine. But as a local church, as believers, we need to also learn the entirety of God's word, so that we also know in our hearts that what Joseph's wife did and what Potiphar's wife did was wrong. So you don't go around doing that. It's beautiful to talk about how Jesus called Judas friend. Yeah, friend, do that which you've come to do, when Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. It's beautiful to see how Jesus forgave Judas. It's also beautiful to teach. I teach it, I've got it. Then instead, I've taught you before severally. Over the years, I've taught it consistently, right? It's beautiful to see that, we see things like if Judas had not killed himself, he would be redeemed. We know all those things. But we also need to ensure, right, that we are saying and teaching that the conduct of Judas was bad. Because what will happen eventually in local church is that the entirety of, you have more people having to walk in love, and you have more people having to offend other people. Are we together? So if you ask me, where should the emphasis be? Definitely emphasis would be on what is your response. You cannot determine what people do to you. But I'm saying we need to as well, as much as possible. Yeah. You see Ananias in Acts 5. Discernment of spirits. Paul, by word of knowledge, Peter rather, by word of knowledge, that he sold the property, and near how much he sold the property for. And they came and they lied. It's very unfortunate when you as a believer, all you take from that story is that Peter should have grown up. Yeah, that's very unfortunate. You see, I always say something. There's some things you can be careful about, or careful not to get yourself involved with, so that you don't learn the lessons with yourself. Yeah, so that you don't learn that. Sometimes you don't just test. There's no point testing it altogether. There's no point testing it just so that you don't learn your lessons. You don't learn lessons because there are lots of lessons people make, and then people tend to learn rather, but they never recover from it. I'll give you an example of someone who was led by the Spirit not to, go on a trip, and eventually got on a trip, and eventually everybody on the bus died. Do you understand? And eventually the person's leg is gone, right? You don't need to test yourself. You see, the Spirit of God says, don't go on that trip. That's why you see across in the book of Acts, you see the apostles, there are times where they will say, carry your leg and run, right? The instruction of God's salvation plan, or God's safety rather, for Peter, I think that's Paul, right, was to actually run. There'll be a time where, Paul will have to be put down to a casket so that he can escape. You understand? You see, those are not times where you just, actually, as you are escaping in the basket, you can actually remind yourself that the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus are all together, right? So there's some things you don't need to get yourself. Don't get yourself involved in things. So don't say because, all pastors, no, pastors should forgive. Like I said, Ananias was somebody, Ananias and Sapphira, there will be examples that we will see who, they found themselves on the bad page of whatever you want to call it, Peter's book or Peter's growing years. He grew to his last days, definitely, but they never recovered from it. Do you understand? So I don't know why I'm paying attention to this today, but you know, there's no point trying to explain. You know, some of us know how to explain Bible, and we can twist the Bible just to make it say what we think we want it to say. Yeah, we know about believers' authority, right? It's something we affirm as a local church. What I'm saying here is simple, right? There is the place to teach that. There's also the place to teach the things that believers should not be doing altogether. It's littered across scriptures. It will take a very, you know, very careful way of, you know, turning deaf eyes. That's the word, right? Yeah, as I said intentionally, right? To not see it there across scriptures, right? So God has just put a certain form of order in the local church, for instance, and God has put a structure in the local church, and God ensures, and that reason for the structure really is for your benefit. Are we together, right? So it's just very important for you not to fall prey of certain things. And I said, so anywhere you find yourself in the world, like I always say, right? Anywhere you find yourself, anytime in the world, always ensure that you are a believer as well as your pastor. You are a saint as well as your pastor. Are we together? But when it comes to the local, when it comes to the body of Christ, we are not all on the same path. But not all. It's not, you would have to twist the Bible to get to a conclusion that no. There is ministry gifts, right? There's your pastor, and your pastor might be me today, might not be me tomorrow, right? But I'm talking anyone that has that oversight. Yeah, God has placed certain authorities in the midst of people, right? Amongst people, right? And it's not as though the pastor is a perfect person, not at all. Yeah, no. Yeah, the pastor is not the pastor is not is not is not a pastor because of his perfection or our perfection. No. It's just God's wisdom. It's just God's order. Do you understand? Yeah. So eventually, you know, in our world, for instance, when maybe pastors do certain things and it trends everywhere, people will say, well, eventually pastors are men of God or man of God. Yeah. So for a pastor, really, you live by example, you model by example, you show templates and examples. People can follow suit, you know, and all of that for the local assembly and for the body of Christ generally. You know, but you see, the wisdom of God it cannot be undone. It's been the structure over the years. It's been the structure over the years, right? So you need to just ensure that you put your heart in the safest of place, right? Like, how am I saying all of this? I'm just saying, anywhere you find yourself, you see, there's no point lying. Especially somebody who you look up to or somebody who you think has a sense of authority over your life. There's no point lying. There's no point lying. Ananias did not need to lie. You know, see, Ananias could have been an example of a believer who, you know, I mean, people have debated if they were believers or if they were not believers. Really, that's not the point. And I feel like when we start having those kind of conversations, when we say Ananias and those stories, we're just trying to shy away from certain points. Yeah, okay, you want to explain that Peter's stuff happened to them or what Peter said killed them because they were not believers. So people that were selling their properties, right? What do you think was the first heuristic for them to come together to do? What do you think was the common ground for all of them that Ananias and Sapphira were going to sell their property? You know, I think if you look at the structure around the story, a lot of things infers that to a very large extent, you know, if they were believers, you know, but let's assume they were not even believers. Your point is not to argue that they were not believers and go and misbehave. Your point is to ensure that there are some things you don't find yourself doing. It's just for your sake. Yeah, you know, I've had people who look at me to my eyes, and the funny thing is, and a lot of times when it happens consistently, you know, I told you before, my wife has asked that question. She's a step, and she's asked, how do you keep a straight face? How do you maintain for in our Gen Z world, steeds, when someone is lying to you? Yeah, it's just something I think I've experienced it over the years a lot of times, you know, but it's not just necessary. If you're not in church because you travel, you don't say you are sick. Yeah, that pastor says, oh, it is well with you. That does not mean he might not know. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just trying to say that. So I'm trying to say that even as a pastor, you know, even being able to know, discern, that's the same way you two can discern. That's the way you can descend. So it's very important for you to just, you know where the boundaries are, know, you know, who you are, what you have, know what you rent. So for instance, you see, and it's because of this, you know, conversation around, you know, interactions with people that between pastors and members and everything that makes, you know, some pastors shield some knowledge from members. Yeah, so he says, for instance, in the local church world, the pastor sees visions, sees what works in the ministry of word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Only the pastor, it's a very, very large extent. That practice done over and over amplifies him. And as I see, for the past, for the past couple years, I've ensured and tried as much as possible to the best of my knowledge, to restrain from those kind of ministrations and views frequently in the local church, right? Just so that it doesn't make you feel like there's something more to me. Yes, even if there is really, but it's not about that. It's the fact that even if you can, right? Even if I can, rather, you can, right? Something more just really means I'm pastor. Yeah, that's just what I meant there. Yeah, so it's very important for you to just know that you need to keep reminding yourself of the fact that God lives in you, God's spirit works and work in you. But there are certain things as well you can do to keep yourself in place. I'll give an example. For instance, when Peter and John, is Peter and John, yeah, Peter and John, I think, or, yeah, Peter and John were going to the gate called Beautiful, right? Yeah, it's beautiful to say that, oh, they were going there to go and pray. They had not prayed. Yeah, and yet they allowed what they worked the miracle. That's beautiful to say. But don't also miss the point that the fact that they had a time of prayer and they were going to observe that time. That was, they were men of prayer. Do you understand? So we don't just mix up conversation and narrative. I don't know why I'm emphasizing on this today, but hopefully. So went through scriptures to see how words of knowledge or word of knowledge was used to identify places, people. You saw how the king of Syria was planning something in his bedroom, on his bosom, or in his private space, right? And what happened? Elisha the prophet will tell the king of Israel and say, "This is what the Syrians are planning. Don't go through this path." Yeah, that's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. Yeah, so if someone comes and says that, oh, they were walking and the Spirit of God asked them to change the route, it's not out of place because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, it's not out of place, right? So we need to ensure that we don't logicalize or get ourselves out of supernatural. There's a kind of logic we are, and I had to catch myself or get myself or catch myself on that path a couple, years ago, right? Where you try to logicalize everything. Everything must be logical. Everything you try to just logicalize, just to, and eventually what happens is that you don't approach scriptures with sincerity. Yeah, because what will happen eventually is that you have to twist narrative. We talked about exegesis and eisegesis. Yeah, you have a conceived notion, just like what you call, a lot of times you see some feminists, yeah, some feminists, when they enter into some very unscriptural approach to reading scriptures, they have a slant, right? Yeah, well, we thought that scripturally Bible, male and female, but you just pick that slant and squeeze it into the scripture. What will happen is that you will now start practicing eisegesis, right? So they are supernatural experiences, right? So I'm trying to say that some people will hear supernatural experiences or supernatural instructions by the Spirit, by leading of spirits for other people in our world today, and the first thing they will think about is, it's not possible, it's not possible, it's not possible. There was somebody who, I was just saying this in passing, someone who on one of my last trips, I'd never met him, never knew him, but he just saw me somewhere and he reached out to me and he was all around. He's been, he knows me well. In fact, started saying some, one of the things I learned to do is to ensure that, just like Paul, tear my shirt, right? Because people will always, want to make you feel like more than you, not think you're like God. So I just tried. So once you, I just met him and, talking about how our ministry has influenced him and all those things. And it went as much as saying, I'm one of the few people, and I just felt like you didn't have to say that. I'm one of the few people who teaches sound doctrine in Nigeria. Which one is few people? God has men. I just smiled. I said, beautiful, good. Collected my number, collected my Instagram page. I got back home, saw he had posted me everywhere. And I just saw a few days ago that he picked a video of a miracle meeting. Right, a miracle meeting. Somebody stood up from a wheelchair and he picked that video and he posted it, and he was just laughing about it. I was like, "Hand, how was it possible?" That was the moment. Now he would. I would never see his post again. Never, never. Do you understand? Yeah, never. And I know where he is coming from. It's coming from that logicalization point of view. You want to be logical about every experience. You can actually experience. I was saying something at the end of service last week, Sunday. Right, you can tell that what I'm doing with this meeting is just to catch up with you, every one of you listening to me. You're not saying something on Sunday, how the fruits of the things of the Spirit, rather, and the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in our lives are not for the local church gatherings alone. We can actually have them in our lives, in our daily lives. Yeah, it can be as basic as knowing what school to go to, what hospital to go to. It can be as basic as knowing when to go to the GP. It can be as basic as knowing when not to go to work. It can be as basic as knowing the school your child should go to. We call it basic, but they are big deals, right? So we can carry the entirety of what God is doing with us in the local church into our various lives. You know, I would expect that some of you, maybe in your private times, in your conversations, you just have those words of knowledge just dropping and just bringing clarity to people. Yeah, bringing direction to people, bringing clarity to people. Just, it's not that you just say it casually. You know, just say it casually and you just realize that, oh, you are helping people. So we need to bring that, you know, that approach into our personal lives. Yeah, we need to bring it into our daily lives. Me, a few years ago, there's some things you will hear, and maybe I will say, why? Even though definitely I was never been someone who, you know, castigate any of those things online and everything, but I can have my bias and reservations. But recently I started realizing, why am I actually having, you know, to first think that it might be false? Do you understand? Yeah, so if someone tells you whatever experience they had, yeah, the moment you start thinking first, it is false. Yeah, so we need to ensure that we don't just get ourselves to, in fact, let me say it differently. A lot of times we logicalize the leading of the Spirit out of our hearts, out of our lives. We just apply a lot of logic, apply a lot of, and logic is beautiful. Logic is theological. Yeah, we know the logic is lovely. You should have your thinking cap on. Yeah, you should have your thinking cap on. Yeah, you should have your thinking cap. I saw a video of, you know, I think what was happening was, you know, a pastor was casting out a sickness on someone, and you know, he was hitting the back of the person. I can't remember if it was a male or female, you know, and people were laughing. And I'm like, you know, if Jesus had done what he did by mixing spit and sand to heal someone, and that's why I always say that don't let it be the time when you need a miracle that you are now trying to use your logic to unlogicalize your mind. If Jesus had, you know, asked people to dip themselves, if Elisha had asked people to dip themselves in water today, right, they would say, you want to give people pneumonia, right? If Jesus had mixed spit and sand today, they would say, what kind of nonsense is that? Ew. Yeah, some people will explain the culture behind the spit and the sand. My dear sister, my dear brother, that was a mixture of sand and spit, saliva, all together. And the person got healed. Yeah, do you understand? So definitely I know, see, one of the things we must understand is that anything you allow humans to get involved with, they will always take it extreme. What do you think makes somebody who hears us say that our sins are forgiven eternally, and what they think from that is that you can go and be killing people and you will still be saved? Yeah, but we will not, because, do you understand? See, we will not, because people mock the miracle, or people go the extra mile to do a lot of fake miracles, right? And because we don't want to make people feel like we are part of them, or we don't want people to feel like we are supporting of that, we don't stop doing miracles. No, you understand? We don't really just stop. Yes, are there people who get words of knowledge words of knowledge and, you know, details of people behind service? Why do you know so much about it? And why do you know so much about it? So why do you just know so much about it? Right? But you will not say because of that, you don't want to. And I feel like, to be like, in fact, for me as well, it was something that happened over time. I just realized that I started logicalizing laying on of hands. And it was a subconscious thing. I had to catch myself on that a few years ago. Right? I was just, nothing happens where hands are laid. I'll travel thousands of miles for hands to be laid on me. Trust me, right? So I can't get to a place where I'll say, you know, it's not just hands, the words are enough. Yeah, words are good, words are great. Yeah, there's something called leaning on hands. Do you understand? So don't logicalize it because people have abused it. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't get yourself all, you know, logical, all this, all that, because people have got an extreme. So the same way people would take, just like Fanta or Coke, yeah, people who Fanta, they will say it's supposed to be, or even paracetamol. Yeah, there are people who the paracetamol tablet or Panadol tablet says take one a day, or take two. More often than not, take two, three, four times a day. Yeah, some people will see take seven, right, on a sitting. Yeah, people will abuse anything. Do you understand? People will abuse anything. Yeah. In fact, if you look through the examples we've even looked at, yeah, Moses and Miriam, Aaron getting leprosy in scriptures, Peter and Ananias, you know, dying, people will still take it to an extreme and abuse it. You know, but the truth is that there's a whole counsel of God that is written on the pages of the word. Such that we cannot turn deaf eyes, you know, to clearly written things across scriptures. Very, very important. Right, very, very important. So Paul will say now, regarding spirituals, I would not have you to be ignorant. That means don't stay in the dark on this matter, right? He says staying in dark might also mean, you know, I said the word ignorance, that means to shield yourself away from knowledge or to shun knowledge, right? You know, you can subconsciously be shunning knowledge because of experiences and things you heard from other people or things you've seen. Yeah, you can shun knowledge that way. You know, so you need to just ensure that you ensure that you remind yourself daily, weekly, right, monthly, right, of God's word, of that which he has done for you, that which he has put in you, regardless of the extremes that people take it out to. Altogether, yeah, you ask someone, you know, you ask someone, you know, like for instance, you'll be asking questions about, you have people ask questions around how can people see in the spirit, what makes people see in the spirit, it's just guesswork. Okay, yeah, if that's what you get from me, that's fine. Yeah, if that's what you get from me, that's fine, right? But you must ensure that what, see, don't, there's a lot you are losing out on if you excuse yourself from supernatural experiences as a believer. There's a lot you are losing out on. See, the Christian faith in itself is a supernatural faith, such that the God you serve, the Jesus that you said died for you, you've never physically seen. You are not there when those things happened. But by faith in what? A word, a supernatural word. By faith. You just believe. Yeah. How can you say somebody hears the word and is born again? Do you understand what that means? How can you say somebody just hears a message and is born again? That's something supernatural. That's something outstanding. That's something supernatural. And you are part of those who believe. So once you are in that category, it means that there's a lot of supernatural word. Yeah, you know, like I would always say the biggest miracle is the miracle of, you know, salvation. Biggest miracle is the miracle of resurrection. And the moment you just get born again, that's the greatest miracle happening to you without anybody even being able to tell, more often than not from the outside. Because when you get born again, nobody sees the spirit entering your heart. Yeah, but it happens. That's supernatural. That's spiritual. That's supernatural. That's spiritual. So there's an entire world. I'm saying in this world we are in, there's another world. Yeah, there are two worlds. Are we together? There's a supernatural, there's a natural world. There's that which your eyes can see, your senses can feel, your senses can relate with and interact with. But there is that as well which your senses cannot interact with directly, right? There's that as well which your senses can have a glimpse, they can have a touch, a feel, a foretaste, right? But the truth remains that there is a world. And don't get yourself to live a natural life all through your life. No. Don't get yourself to live a natural life all through your life. You're going to be missing out on a lot. Yeah, I can't imagine how our lives would have been, a lot of us as believers, without having, you know, the leading of the Spirit, or without having the Spirit leading us. Right? You know, sometimes you just get some promptings in your heart and you didn't even know where it came from, but you just acted accordingly. But you know, see, if we were to watch ourselves in a 3D or a 3D mirror, 3D screen, you know, we'll be shocked at the things that we'll possibly see. Yeah, we'll be shocked at the things we possibly see, shocked at the things that people possibly escaped. You'll just be shocked, right? Yeah, but because you can't see it, does not now mean it will now say it doesn't exist. No. You can actually stay conscious of the supernatural. You can stay conscious of the spiritual, of the spiritual life. You can keep your spiritual faculties alert. Yeah. So we saw, for instance, on Sunday, you know, Saul was being, you know, what's his name again? Right, when Elisha that will give an instruction as to where to find Saul. I think that was Saul actually. Yeah, that will give instructions as to where the asses will be found that were missing. Yeah, those are day-to-day interactions. You can actually have those experiences, right? Some of us say that those experiences are Old Testament. Think about it. You believe that you have something more. Yeah, you say the blood that speaketh better than the blood of Abel. You believe, oh, you have something more. Right, you believe that you have something more, right? Yet you doubt the supernatural, and yet the people that have something less. Do you know what it is to walk people through the wilderness for years? Do you know what it means to walk them through the wilderness for years? Do you know what it means to walk people through the Red Sea for years? Right? How did walking of the Red Sea, walking through the Red Sea happen? It happened by through a man. Altogether, yes, you know, people can argue and say it's God. Yeah, God is involved. But the truth is that if you look at the instructions that were given, it was given to a man to act on it. And a man was given, it was given to a man to act on as well before the Red Sea was closed again. That's something super. I'm saying, so that's why you say that song. When our backs were against the wall and looked as if it was over, you made a way. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. You know, sometimes we just get all logical, you know, say, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. No, that's not new creation song. I did that a couple years ago too. Yeah. When I tried to make everything past tense. A believer is delivered, and the believer is delivered and delivered forever. My dear saints, there is there is ongoing deliverance. So, right, there is ongoing. People are delivered. People are preserved from harm. People are preserved from evil. Do you understand? So I've been delivered by His blood. Yes, there is that fact. Yeah, God has made that way where there seems to be no way. But the truth is that you can be in a crossroad and expect God to make a way. Yeah, yeah. God's leading. Altogether, right? God's leading, right? Is a present, active, present, continuous things, right? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Yes, there's the led by the Spirit of God. There is the, in the past tense, we've been led, right? But the truth is that much more than that led as well involves a leading, a continuous activity that has present, continuous things, right? So we are led. Yes, we've been led by the Spirit of God. We've been brought into his blood. But there's that daily leading. It's there. You know, you can be in a crossroad and saying God will make a way where there seems to be no way because He walks in ways we cannot see. Do you understand? He will make a way. He will be my guide. He holds me close to Himself. Right? Those are songs you can say. He made a way when our backs were against the wall. Yes. Yeah, so you can, you have the, it's not a world of two isolation. It's not two extremes trying to combat themselves. No, you can actually have the two truths. Yeah, you can. Do you understand? You can. That's why you hear some people say that believers who are believers, if someone tells you that in their dream, they're having strange experiences in their dreams, right? And all you can get from there is that it's in their mind. There's one. Yeah. So it's not one or the other. Right, one of these days we'll look at. I just plan to shift it a couple, down the line. Let's just focus on authority of the believer. One of these we'll look through into details of some of the questions that a lot of us will have, regarding the balance. Let me just leave it there as a balance, right? So there's a word. I'm just trying to say that there's a word that is in existence in this world. And you will be shortchanging yourself, if that's the word or that's the phrase, shortchanging yourself if you live a natural life all through. That means you can logically explain every single thing. You can logically explain every single thing. You understand? Yeah. So we say that gospel, the resurrection power, or the, what do you call it? So just keep me, yeah. So I'm just trying to say that, there's the resurrection power at work in us, there's salvation power at work in us, there's the finished work, there are things that we keep doing, there are things that were progressive, there are things that, things that will change from, yeah, I'll start talking about how the gospel doesn't have finances, there are no, Jesus didn't die for our prosperity. That's a fact, that's a truth, it cannot change. But that doesn't take away the fact that people experience the miraculous. The miracles do happen. Miracles actually do happen, right? Then it's like, so you should be someone who is open to miracles, right? You should be someone who believes the best of, believes in miracles, right? Yeah, so you can be somebody who, for instance, you know how to explain how all your money comes, how your salary comes, how all your income comes. You know, but you can actually trust God for a miracle. You can actually trust that you receive something. Yeah, you can just trust that your needs are met. You can just trust that way. The problem we have a lot of times is that people want to stay in either of the extremes. The extreme of Jesus didn't die for prosperity, nothing about money, anything. Yes, and there's also the part that... because miracles happen, I want to live a life of a miraculous every day. Are we together, right? In that, and people that will not have that slander. For example, my people, some of them who will not now want to walk, they now want to act lazy. Because I know it's not supposed to be one extreme or the other. You can have the balance. Altogether, you can have the balance, right? So we ended our meeting on Sunday trying to look at word of knowledge, what it does, what are things that will get for me. We also spoke about word of wisdom, and we said that a lot of times it gives direction for the future, right? It gives direction for the next phase or the next thing to do, basically. So it's something that you need to pay attention to as well. So when you give a word of knowledge, don't always end there. I feel like I said something a few weeks ago as well, that a lot of times we get too excited once we're given a word of knowledge. So you say some details about someone and person says, yes, you are correct. You say another one, says correct. And you just get so overwhelmed with excitement. And you don't know, you just say, let's just give God praise. And don't just end it as give God praise because you are blushing. No. Yeah, take it a step further. Take it a step further. Take it a step further. You see, from that place where the word of knowledge came, there are many more things that can come altogether. Yeah, there are many, many, many more things, right, that can come. So you need to ensure that you get yourself in a place to, pray for more. Test for more. There's this very, very popular song. You've made my life so beautiful, and as you are, you have made me earn it. There's nothing greater than this, and that's why I love you forevermore. I want more of you, Jesus. More I want you, the more I want to know. The truth is that that song gives you the context altogether. It gives you the context. I have all of you is a fact, right? But the singer says, I want more of you, right? The more I know you, the more I want to know. Altogether. So the wanting more is linked to knowledge. You get the point. You can actually have both. Just get yourself, you see, get yourself open as much to receive the entirety of God's word in its fullness. Altogether. Yeah, look at 1 Corinthians 14. I think I've given you a quick chat this evening. I hope that instructs your heart. Yeah, I'm sure you know that the last 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 40 minutes has been full of lots of instructions. I've said so many things, but I'm just giving one instruction, one basic instruction. Yeah, the moment you start having reservations for the supernatural, the moment you start having reservations for the miraculous, more often than not, you begin to dwindle in the things of the spirit. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. Yeah, there's a place for logic altogether. But I can tell you audaciously, what do you say of a woman who gave birth without a womb? That's a miracle. Go and use your logic and explain. You won't find the roots. You can't find the roots. How do you see that? It's a miracle. It is a miracle. Do you understand? It's a miracle, and it is what it is. It's a miracle. Yeah. So if your mind is all logical, all logical, all logical, all logical, you just find out that, in your flow through the spirit, you start questioning things, start questioning yourself. Look at First Corinthians. First Corinthians. We looked at chapter 13 briefly on last week. Look at chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, verse 1. But rather you may prophesy, for he that speaketh in tongues speaketh unto men. Now, I want you to go to, we looked at verse 20 and 21 very well on Wednesday and Sunday. Look at verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you. Let me give you another instruction as well. You see, tongues is something that should be that should be a consistent language you speak all through your days as a believer. Altogether. Yeah, I'll say it one more time. Tongues is something that should be found consistently in your vocabulary. See, you can actually speak in tongues in a day more than you talk to other people, or more than your use of your language, English, Spanish, Latin, whatever it is, in a day. You can. You can. Look how Paul says in verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. And you see a lot of things. What tongues and what it does a lot for you. Don't forget who gets edified when tongues is spoken. The Bible says you, Jude 20, build up yourself in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Build up yourself, or kadumio, right? Build up yourself in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, by praying in other tongues, right? You see, so when Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongue more than ye all, what is he trying to say? I build myself. Guessing, build yourself more in the coming year. You see, in the coming year, build yourself more. I can tell you for free, yeah? You would need to. You will need to. There's certain things that will happen in 2025. Certain things. I've been saying this for a while, right? Certain things that will happen, and it will happen. It will happen. Right, but I remember I said on Sunday, that ensure that you derive your satisfaction in your relationship more from your relationship with God, so to say, right? It's very, very important. You see, in the next year, build yourself more. Build yourself more. Talk voraciously in tongues. You see, you can have a calendar. You see, a lot of us use our phone for everything irrelevant, and don't use it for things relevant. Yeah, some of us have alarms on our phone to watch a movie. Some of us have alarms on our phone to catch up with a partner and or a gist partner and be gisting. We have alarms for very different things, and it's good. But trying to say, in the middle of those alarms, you should have alarms on when you put your phone on and when you talk in tongues. See, let your phone ring at specific times of the day, and what you know once you hear that alarm or that tone is that you need to talk in tongues, such that as you even try to put it off anywhere you are in the world, just speak in tongues. You can have that life. See, have that life in the year coming year and years to come. In 2025, have that life. Have that approach. Have that approach. Talk in tongues voraciously. Lavish out in tongues, right? When you can speak it loud, speak it loud. When you need to speak it, in low tone because of people around you, do it as well. But don't keep short at all. Yeah. So Paul will say, I thank my God I speak in tongues when I hear. Because tongues is a supernatural language. Yeah. And what it does is that it builds the man, it builds the saint, it builds the believer, it builds you up. Yeah. It builds you up. Yeah, go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Right? He that prophesies speak unto men, speaketh unto men unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. Look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. Because he that speaketh in tongues, he what? He edifies himself. He builds up himself. He edifies himself. Right? But he that prophesies edifies the church. So who do you edify when you speak in tongues? Yourself. Who do you edify when you interpret in tongues? The church. Yeah. And you know that church as well will include your mind. Are we together? So Paul says, look at verse 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, 1 Corinthians 14, 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in tongues pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prayer and my understanding is unfruitful. So what is it then? I will pray in my spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. I will sing in the spirit and also sing in my understanding. Remember, we said that last Wednesday, right? When we're singing, we should have times when we sing in the spirit, right? When we're singing praises in church, right? When the person leading us says, lift your hands and sing in the Holy Ghost, or give God praise in the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah, Paul says that if you give thanks in tongues, you give thanks well. Are we together? Yeah. So Paul will say there's the praying in the Holy Ghost, that's praying in tongues, and there's a praying in this in understanding, and there's singing in tongues and singing in understanding. If you remember last week, Wednesday, we said that don't go to the extremes of either, right? Yeah. We have a lot of times where people now pray in tongues alone. If you ask them to go and pray in English, they cannot say anything in English. No. Paul says there's a time for praying in tongues and praying in understanding. Yeah. And also we have some people as well who can sing English. Any song, give to them, they will sing. Any song, but when it comes to singing in tongues, they cannot. What is singing in tongues? I think we'll do a full service for that, maybe the next service after this coming Sunday. And it's just to put tongues under a tune altogether. That's just what singing in tongues is. Yeah, praying in tongues means put the tone of prayer under your tongues. Singing in tongues means put the tone of music, put the tone of sounds, right, or melody, right, on your tongues, the same tongues. Are we together at the same tongues, right? So Paul will say that I pray that I'll pray with the spirit as well, and I'll pray with my understanding also. I'll sing the spirit and sing my understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless the spirit, how shall they occupy the room of the land and say amen. Right? Look at verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I rather speak five words in my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words. In tongues, what is Paul saying, right? Yeah, there is, whilst he speaks lavishly, so Paul lavished his life in speaking in tongues. Yeah, so it more often than not, two out of three times you catch Paul talking, and what you will hear is tongues. Yeah, because that's the only way you can say I speak in tongues more than an entire congregation. Yeah, so Paul now goes ahead and says, wherefore tongues is for a sign. We looked at this from Isaiah 28, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So now, verse 23, he says, if therefore the whole church will come together. Now, look at this. The whole church will come together into one place and all speak with tongues. And there coming those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Will they not say that ye are mad? Will they not say that ye are mad? Yeah, so in the real sense, Paul will say, when you come together, right, and everyone is speaking in tongues, and we have people who are unlearned or unbelievers, they will question what's happening. You see, that's exactly what happened in Acts 2. Yeah, remember we've done that earlier in the series. If all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he judges of all, and thus the secret of his heart are made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is of the truth in you. Look at verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come to, now, my emphasis, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together on Sunday? So this is Paul's instruction to us, and we're going to personalize it as a church. Okay, how is it then, brethren, that is brothers and sisters of God's palace, right? How is it then that when you come together, I hope you know that every one of you had a time, every one of you had a doctrine, every one of you had a tongue, every one of you had a revelation, every one of you had an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man should speak in unknown tongues, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by course let one interpret. So what is Paul saying? When we come together, you have a son. Are we together? You know, I was talking to us on Sunday, right? When I was talking about how a lot of times as churches, we can begin to major on the minor and minor on the major. What does that really mean? Right? How can you dress up on a Sunday to go to a church meeting, and throughout the church meeting, you did not connect, you could not, you know, there was no speaker made available for you, nothing for you, and all you did was to raise a placard and say, welcome home. Welcome to which home, please? Do you understand? If you want to go and do, you know, be a billboard outside, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Do you understand? How do you grow? How do you grow? How does one grow that way? And like I said, there's a place of, you know, coordinating. You know, there'll be times, you know, a time will come where we would have to, you know, get people to coordinate, you know, people who are driving from far, people who are, yes, those days will come. They definitely will come. We can't miss it. They will come, right? Yeah. But you see, we won't allow people to be directing traffic and not be edified even at the middle of that. Out together. Right, that's why I see sometimes in our meetings we see that our ushers are trying to be around to let people to sit. But once there's a time I start teaching, I want anybody that comes that you find where to sit. Yeah, why are you distracting us? You know, it's very rude to be coming to church late. It's very rude. One day we'll treat it. Yeah, is you are anybody you see coming to church late, you know, has a sense of pride, right? It's an ego. It's an ego thing, right? It's an ego thing. When you go to church and you're consistently known for going to church late, you know, it's a pride thing. If you check it very more often than most people exhibit pride in various areas of their lives, that's the truth. Yeah, you can't explain it away. Yeah, you can't have honor, you can't be humble and be going to church late. It doesn't make any sense. So when you are consistently coming late for meetings, when we're supposed to be in church for 9 o'clock, you consistently come late. You have one excuse or the other. We're supposed to start midweek by 7. You consistently come late. You have one excuse or the other. You're just being proud. Yeah, that's pride. Yeah. If anything at all, you should have regard for God, right? And we'll see your regard for God in your regard for our meetings, right? So if you come to church at 9 o'clock, be there at 9 o'clock. Let it be that the days you come later than 9, right? It is because something happened and it's strange. You know that some of you, if I don't see you at 9:05, I begin to wonder what's happening. And some of you, if I see you at 9:05, I say, praise God. Yeah, that should not be it. Yeah, that should not be it. Yeah. Yes, you should. There's no excuse. Yeah, there is nobody that has an excuse to come late to church. You understand? Nobody has an excuse. So when you now start seeing people coming late to church, when the meeting is now going on, when we've already done praise and worship, everybody and now walking in as what now? That's a level of pride that is actually is disgusting. Yes, we can be very patient with people, and you should know we are very patient with people and patient with love you as well. You know, but I'm just trying to tell you that it stinks. It doesn't look good on you. You can be in church before every meeting. Yeah, you can be in church before every meeting. You cannot explain it away. There's no need trying to explain. There's no excuse. You can be in church every Sunday. You can actually be in church every Sunday at the right time, start service together. You can. You don't have to come late. Yeah, you don't have to come there. It feels like this meeting is very instructive. Yeah, looks like it's very instructive. I think it's for, you know, for us to pay attention to, you know, things that are being said. Yeah, just get yourself to just prioritize. Don't major on the minor. All right. Yeah, don't major on the minor and now minor on the major. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you should have that sense of regard and reverence. So we can't come to church and we now dedicate three people to stand outside. Do you understand? Imagine in Novotel, for instance, where we meet, you just ask one sister to go and stand outside and, you know, and be looking for people who are coming to God's palace. Yeah, what did we do? We just got a banner, we put it downstairs. If you really came to church, there's nobody who will come to that place, right? And they came to church intentionally and they will go back home that they did not know the venue. How now? When it's not a dilapidated building, you will ask somebody at the reception and they'll tell you where to go to. Do you understand? So what exactly are we trying to do when people are not following in the meeting, they're not following the service, they're not following in everything, you know, and people still wait outside it as what? And I think it's kind of, you know, the world we find ourselves, it looks like we need to pamper people. After all, there's a song that says, daddy that used to pamper, daddy that used to pamper. Yeah, that sense of pampering. Let me tell you, the Christian faith, you know, I was teaching about rest on Sunday, and I hope you didn't miss the point. And I mean, we've started over time as well to think that rest means you just relax yourself, just go at your pace. No, you don't determine the pace at which, you know, at which you will be corrected, you will be, you know, groomed, you'll be discipled, you'll be a student, you'll be taught, right? You don't determine the pace. So, you know, so yes, as a local church, for instance, we're open to comments, open to conversation. We do it a lot in Nigerian church. I mean, we'll start it properly in the coming days, where you come and tell us your observations in the month and what we can do better and everything, you know. But when we hear the observations, people, I remember, so you see, believers are believers. I remember someone was asking us a question at the time, why do we pray before Sunday service starts? why do we pray before Sunday service, where we are going to pray in Sunday service? You know, if you allow people, they will ask you, why do we meet self? You just need to ensure that, you know, your heart is actually well preserved. Let me tell you something. I don't foresee that, you know, there's anyone listening to me right now, including myself, that will have a less busier day tomorrow and in the coming days. Everybody grows. Do you understand? Your days ahead will be busier. Yeah? Your day. So if you cannot talk in tongues consistently now, I'm saying no matter how busy I am now, no matter how busy you are now, if you cannot create a pattern of devotion, a structure of devotion, you know, I told you, I've said it over time, we don't have professionals in the things of the Spirit. We only have people who what? Are disciplined and the practice and practice and practice and practice again and again and again and again. There's nobody that's a pro, no experts. Yeah, so if at this point in time, let's say yes, you are the busiest in your lineage. yeah, let's assume you are the busiest in your lineage. Yeah, even at that, I'm saying all things being equal, if you keep putting energy into your life, into your world, your days ahead are busier. Think of yourself 10 years ago, think of yourself 5 years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you might have been single. 5 years after, 5 years, maybe you are married. 5 years after, you have the first child. 5 years after, you have another child. It comes with more responsibility. It comes with much more responsibility. So if you don't have a pattern of being consistent now, it will be difficult. More often than not, you will just give up. Yeah, you don't have a consistent of prayer or a pattern of praying regularly, frequently, consistently. You don't have that attitude of, you know, studying God's word. You don't have that attitude of reading God's word. You don't have that attitude of listening to messages. No, the days actually might not get, you know, some of us think that, you know, want to get to a point where we will be. No, it doesn't come. That's the same to evangelism. If you don't have that culture of going out to evangelize now that you're single, when you get married, you might never go out, even with church. You might never go with church. When you get married and have a first child, you might never go out at all. You understand? It's just there's nothing. Yeah, there is nothing that you can do. That there are people who that you know that you are getting yourself involved. That people who are not doing it and doing it efficiently in different parts of the world. All you need to know is to major on the minor and minor on the major. Major on the minor and minor on the major. Major on the minor and minor on the major. Yeah, let that be your focus. Let that be your focus. Anything that will take you out of the will of God, the center of God, your devotion, is too, that's why I can say that thing, is too unnecessary. No matter how necessary you think it is too unnecessary. You don't have time to pray, you don't have time for devotion, you don't have time to minister in the Spirit, you don't have time for evangelism, you don't have time for church group evangelism, you don't have time for prayer meetings, you don't have time, your life is going to get busier. Life is going to get busier. It will get busier. Altogether, it will get busier. it will get busier. So don't just get yourself, you know, some of us are just looking for the slightest excuse, slightest opportunity, slightest, anything you give an excuse for, to a very large extent, if you look at it properly, you are not really convicted in doing it. You didn't really think you wanted to do it. Yeah, anything you give an excuse for, anything. You know, it's very, very important for you to know these things that we are saying today. Build that sense of devotion. Build that culture. Build that pattern in your life. Build that culture in your home. Yeah. Have those meetings in your home where you practice the things of the Spirit. Have those devotional centers with your family where you practice the things of the Spirit. Have that friend that you can call and practice the things of the Spirit. Right? In the local church, make sure you're around. Yeah. Make sure you're around. Make sure you are present. Yeah. Make sure you are actively involved. Make sure you are following. Make sure you are being carried along. Make sure you are asking the questions you have. Make sure you are open to, you know, the riches of God's word. Make sure you are open to see what God's word is saying to you per time. Make sure you are building a life of commitment, a life of consistency. If you are not committed today, it will be difficult to be consistent tomorrow. Do you understand? You are managing 3 people at work today. Yeah? Who knows if you manage 30 people at work next year? Who knows if you manage 30 people at work 3 years from now? Do you understand? Who knows if you manage 50 people in the next 3 months? Who knows, right? You're managing 3. You don't have a devotion, a life of devotion. You know, it will be difficult to have that sense of devotion when you start managing 50 people. It will be very difficult for you to have that sense of commitment when you start having more people, right? So when you start having that it looks like everything is getting into your mind, you are getting carried away, or, you know, everything seems overwhelming. See, a lot of times, just sit down, pause. Just ponder. I say I do it a lot of times, but I did it more than ever in my life this year, right? Where I sit down almost, as I usually do it towards the end of the year or maybe beginning of the year. And I sit and I reappraise myself. And I see the number of activities I do per day, per week, per month. I have my calendar full to the brim, you know? And I just reevaluate myself and just take it away. Not if anything suffers, not my commitment to Jesus. You see? And I always tell you, your pastor is an example of who you can become. Your pastor is an example of who you can become. Your pastor is an example of who you can become. That's the truth. Do you understand? So no matter what the case is, let it be that you remain consistent. Let that Jesus one, that commitment to the things of the Spirit, that commitment to your devotion, your prayer life, let it just be that it is. You know, there's something called autocruise, which you can call autopilot. Yeah. Yeah, you can just cruise control. Yeah, let it just be on cruise control, autopilot. Just let your ministerial life. So let everything be worked around. Let everything be worked around. Let everything be re-edited to fit your ministry. Do you understand? You know, so there's nobody here who can tell me you are busy at work and that is why I can meet you at work. You're not the first person to work. I'm not the first person to work. I'm not the first person to work and pastor. Are we together? Right? So nobody can tell me, you know, that would be different if maybe I wasn't working 9 to 6 or whatever it is, and I'm asking to come and do prayer meeting every Monday morning at 10 o'clock. No, wait, there's no Monday meeting prayer at 10 o'clock. Right? We are all working. Everybody is working. So in our working, I'm going for evangelism. What's your excuse? Right? See, you know, if I ask some of you to prepare for a teaching, right, what you just teach in the local church for one day, right, you will know the amount of work that goes into one meeting, right? Talk more of going into every meeting twice a week consistently on a minimum, right? So for someone like me, for instance, there's no year in the last probably 6-7 years that I've not done an average of 150 teaching days. I've not added Navigating Your Bible series that we do for a full week and all those things. I'm not talking about I'm talking about, just look at church alone. I'm talking about other people who I'm, you know, discipling and all of those things. So an average of 150. And in that, I'm still working. And in that, I'm still pastoring. And in that, I'm still going for personal evangelisms. In that, I'm still studying. In that, I still have my prayer time every day. I still have my study time every day. Listen to God's word every day. Pray every day. What is your excuse? What is your excuse now? Your excuse cannot be work. It's because you prioritize work over that. You understand? Yeah? Work will get busier, right? Work doesn't have eternal value. Work doesn't have eternal impact. Are we together? What is the excuse? What exactly is the excuse? It shouldn't be an excuse. You shouldn't have an excuse. You shouldn't have an excuse. Let your ministerial focus, let your fluent things of the spirit. So don't be somebody who is consistent with prayer today and all of a sudden you stop praying for 6 months, then you now want to catch up. Build a pattern, build a template, build a pattern, build a template, build a pattern, build a template. All right? Yeah. If you come to church at 10:30, when praise and worship is over, right? You say because of boss. Look at your timetable. Go back to your timetable. And go back to your boss timetable. Know the boss that gets you to church for 10 o'clock. All right, together. And you know, but pastor, the boss, you used to sleep in. I sleep in on, you know, it's very, very interesting to hear people say they sleep in on Sunday. I slept in on Sunday. Good, beautiful. But it just shows as much that you don't have priority for the things of God. Yeah. Oh, pastor, there are lots of Sunday nights. In fact, a couple consistently on Sunday nights, right? I sleep at 3. Sometimes I sleep at 4. Sometimes I sleep at 5. Do you understand? I sleep at 5 some Sunday mornings. And I'm in church before most of you. I'm in church before most of you. And that's been consistent for 2 years. I think that's a template enough. Are you together? Yeah? For 2 years, 95% of the days, I'm always first to get to church. 95. And sometimes I sleep at 5. I'm the one that is teaching you. And what I'm preaching the message, what excuse do you have? What excuse do you have? No, you don't have. You don't have an excuse. You are just giving yourself an excuse. Just giving yourself an excuse. Yeah. No. I don't know how the message just switched today, but I feel like these instructions are things that you need to get yourself ready for the next year. Yeah. And don't just. And I'm not. You know, some of us now, you still be hearing me and say, "How this one pastor is saying, I will start in 2025." No, start today. If you don't start today, you might not start in 2025. Start today. Make up your mind. Look at your calendar. What makes you too busy for the things of God? Remove it. You have catch up with gossip partner, right? 5 times a week. You have people that there's people. In fact, recently, what I've started learning to do is put my phone away, right? And anytime you enter my ritual, I reach you. It's important to call me. If you have my number, you have my number, right? Because there are just some things that sometimes you can just get yourself carried away with so many activities. And before you know it, you're not praying. Before you know it, you're not studying. You know, I always tell you, right? So I've used this teaching to show you how you can keep yourself on fire. You know, I used to just say that when I see you minister, when I see you praying, when I see you in the local church, right, your spiritual temperature can be gauged by watching you. So I'm just using this entire series, this entire teaching today to show you how to increase your temperature. Increase your temperature, increase your activities, yeah? How you can increase your activities in the things of God. Yeah, that's what I'm doing, using this teaching to do, right? So you can actually take a step back, clear some things out of the calendar. Yeah, you need to watch movies before for 3 hours in a day. Reduce it to 1 hour. Start somewhere at least. Yeah, start somewhere at least. You have TV, you have screen time, right? You have screen time, 10 hours. Start somewhere at least. Reduce your time. Reduce it. Oh, your workload is getting too much for you. You know, see, there's sometimes that your workload can get too much for you, and you need to speak to your manager to tell them it is too much for you. Altogether. You see, what we do a lot in this our world is that when it is getting too overwhelming for us at work, the first thing that suffers is ministry. The first thing that suffers is local church. When it gets too overwhelming for us in our families, in our homes, the first thing that suffers is ministry. Why do we feel so convenient to just allow ministry to be something God has placed in your hands? You know what it means for God to place something in your hands? Maybe you've not given it some thoughts. That God placed something in your hands, that's a big deal. That's a massive big deal. So you would actually need to step down. Like, what am I doing that is too much? And if your calendar is so jam-packed that you are too busy, then if your calendar is so busy, you don't have time for God. No, there's a way I'll get it probably. I said on Sunday, right? You don't need to get yourself that busy. Let me tell you, everybody has 24 hours into their calendar. You can wake up one day and go to the street and go and practice word of knowledge and do evangelism. You can wake up one day and do it consistently every week. You can do it every month. You can do it every. You can just create a pattern. Just create a pattern. Like I said, the days will get busier. The days will get busier. The things we'll get ourselves involved with in the coming years, in the coming decades, will actually be much. But see, one of the things I know, right, that I say to myself almost every day, is that my ministry and the things of God will not suffer It will not suffer because of my activities. It will not suffer because of what I'm doing. You know, some of you have a glimpse of what my day looks like, what my calendar can look like. Right? It's bewildering. Yeah. Yes, in my because there's the mental aspect of pastoring, there's psychological aspect of pastoring, there's the emotional aspect of pastoring, there's a doctrinal aspect of pastoring. That's just pastoring alone. Do you understand? That's just pastoring alone. And with all of that, I'm still a believer. I have to grow. I know me, I don't study to teach. I don't study because I have a message to teach. I don't do series because no, I don't study because there is a series that's upcoming. No. I've told you before I'm on a trajectory of series from 2020, and it's going to last into a decade. And everything I've been studying from 2020 up until this 2025 in the next 60 days or less than that, I haven't taught them in church altogether. So I'm studying as a believer. Right, so I have a voracious life of study, a voracious life of evangelism, a voracious life of prayer, such that I don't get myself, too carried away with other things in life. Just get yourself busy and busy doing the right thing. Don't emphasize on the wrong things. Don't major on the minor and minor on the major. No, don't major on the minor and minor on the major. Yeah, what is major? Prayer. What is major? Study. What is prayer? What is major? Evangelism. What is major? Service in local church. Yeah, all together. Yeah, what is major? Yeah, commitment to Jesus. Yeah, the truth is every other thing can be worked around. Every other thing can be worked around, can be worked around, can be worked around. Yeah, I look forward to us having a very brilliant, productive year in 2025. Now for each and every one of you personally, and for us as well as a local church. Yeah, and one of the things I will say to you is get yourself ready for the year 2025. I've said it again, and I'll say it again. Get yourself ready for the year 2025. Yeah, get yourself ready. Now, this is not the reason why I'm leaving it on the surface level is don't get yourself into anxiety. No, don't get yourself into anxiety. Don't get yourself into anxiety. No. Don't do that. So I'm intentional about leaving it on the surface. Yeah, so we'll go through some things in the coming days and coming years, and with prayer on our lips, right? Some things will happen and some things you will hear about some things will, change some things. None of that. Just keep praying on your lips. Just keep praying on your lips. Stay praying. Stay praying, stay praying, stay praying, stay praying. Paul says, I thank my God that I talk in tongues, but that you all. Paul knew something. Yeah, Paul knew something. Yeah, there'll be days and times when you just have promptings to talk voraciously in tongues. You can leave your office seat. Leave your office seat. Take your break time at that point. Just go out and take a 10 minutes, 15 minutes walk and just blast in tongues and just go back to your seat and continue your walk. Yeah, yeah. In the coming year, I'll expect some of you not to use your entire 1 hour break to be eating and be gisting. I would expect you not to use your entire 1 hour, 30 minutes break to be eating and be gisting. It's not a time to catch up. You can actually use it for something productive in ministry. You can listen to a message, and you can listen to a message and be praying on at the same time. You can have your headset on and pray at the same time. Yeah, you can have your headset on and be praying at the same time. A couple of times when I go into the office, and I see some of my colleagues, for instance, so remember one of them was asking me, what is this that is always in your ear? What are you always listening to? Right? And the person said something, he said, and I know you don't listen to secular music, right? What I must be listening to, right? I said, I'm getting myself stirred up in God's word, right? And I'll be in the office and I'll have it there, right? I'm not saying if you have a policy where it's not tolerated, I know that's fine, that's understandable. But I'm saying don't say because your office does not allow headsets, you don't now listen to God's word throughout the day. Leave your desk for 20 minutes. Lose your break time. You can use 15 minutes to eat. Some of you will warm your food for 10 minutes. When you now warm for 10 minutes, the food will be hot. Then now is another 10 minutes to allow it to calm down. Why are you playing with yourself? How will you warm food? You know you cannot eat hot food. You first use 10 minutes to warm it up. Then now use 10 minutes for it to calm it down. Then you start using 5 minutes to be blowing it. You use your whole 40 minutes. So you're not finished. No. You can actually eat your food in 10, 15 minutes. Yeah. I'm not saying I eat fast. I know that. I'm not saying because I eat fast, everybody should eat fast. I'm trying to say that what are you eating for 15 minutes? What are you eating for 20 minutes? It's because you don't have something to do or because you are not aware that you have something to do. That's why you are sitting down for 20 minutes to eat one small plate of food. Yeah. You are not aware that there's something you can do with your time. Yeah. You're not aware. Yeah, so you can actually, yeah, think about it. You do 8 hours serving man. You do 8 hours serving, working for pounds or working for dollars or working for naira, whatever part of the world you are in, right? What are you so look at it though. You have 24 hours in a day. Your first the two chunk of hours are majorly for things that are not that can that might not help your spiritual growth. One, 8 hours in your office. The second, 8 hours, 8 hours of sleep. Some of you sleep 10 hours in a day. Are we together, right? Some of you sleep 10 hours in a day, some of you sleep 12 hours in a day. So if we do 10 hours plus 8 hours, that's 18 hours. What's left? 6 hours. Then the main 6 hours is to catch up. 3 hours Instagram, 3 hours Twitter. No, you can't live your life that way. See, you can't live your life that way. If your strength fails you in the day of adversity, then you didn't have any strength. Build capacity, build strength, build capacity. Don't hear things happen to you. Something happens to you. Something happens to your family. Something happens to someone member of family. You now start intensifying your vigil. You know, it's when things happen to some of us that we know we can do vigils. You know, it's when things happen to some of us that we can stay alert all night. When no, you can build a practice. You can build a culture. Yeah, you can build a culture. You can build a practice such that if anything happens, you're just going to slot in that matter in your time for vigils. Yeah. In coming days, stop sleeping from 10 o'clock till 7 a.m. and wake up and go to work. No. You are more than that. Yeah. You know, you should have those days where you wake up for vigils. You just do 30 minutes, at least start with 30 minutes. Do 1 hour. Just do 1 hour stretch in the night. Just do it on your own. Just in your own. Not the one that went to a three agarra you want to encourage yourself. You can do it on your own Christian faith journey. Just take yourself out 30 minutes, 1 hour. I do it consistently. 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 Consistently, consistently, altogether, right? So you can just actually have those patterns such that when things begin to go south, because the truth is, at least I believe that everyone listening to me is mature enough to know that it's not every day that goes as we think or as we plan. Not every day. That's why man plan. You know, some people say man plan, man proposes, God disposes. That's just a very, you know, I'm just joking with that statement. But you know, I don't want to say that it's not everything you plan for you will get exactly. It's not everything. It's not everything. It's not everything. And that's the way life is. You must be ready to admit that fact. Just ready to admit that fact. It's not anything you plan for that will go as you plan. Yeah. You might think it takes, so somebody might take 10, can apply for 10 jobs, and out of 10 jobs, they get 9 offers. And you can apply for 1,000 jobs and not get one. It's life. The moment you don't understand that, you are setting up yourself for more disappointment in the coming days. Yeah. Just understand his life. Put in your effort. And don't be lazy. I don't expect you to be lazy. Put in your effort. Put in your all. Put in your everything. Get more certifications. Get more things to add to your life. Get more exposure. Get more experiences. Work on yourself. But you must admit something. There is a factor, right, called life. Just the life factor is there. The life factor is there, right? And you must get yourself just prepare your mind ahead. Be in that mental space where you're already ready. You can build capacity. You build capacity. You build capacity such that anything you hear, anything you see, no matter the story you hear, it doesn't just make you forget about the this God. If there was God, why did he? If there was no God, no. Build capacity. Your strength ought not to fail you the day of the Olympic relay. Right? We're together. Imagine a day. That Usain Bolt, maybe when Usain Bolt was going to run and he ran and you know he something happened and it just you know it just there's a lot of work that is done behind the scene that for Usain Bolt to run or Lionel Messi to play football, or Cristiano Ronaldo to play football, you know, for 90 minutes, there's a lot that goes into that. You know, some of us think it's easy to run around the pitch and be running around the small leather property or leather ball. Right, for 90 minutes, it's not the easiest of things, right? Yeah, but there's a stamina that has been built at the back end. There's a stamina that's been built at the back end. Coming here as well, pay attention to your health. Your health, lead, have a healthy lifestyle. I give an instruction, I've said it 3, 4 times afterwards, right? Yeah, go and do a checkup. Every one of you, go and do a checkup. The same way I'm talking about a wind, just casually, right? Not, I know it's not casual, definitely, but I mean, as a collective, you know, I mean, word from God, yeah. Just go check your and just help modify your lifestyle, modify your intake of some of the things that you eat for the coming year. Very important. Do that as well for your family members. Well, I feel like I've said a lot today, counseling. I feel like I just had a a very interesting counseling session this beautiful evening, and I really hope that you are and have been instructed by this teaching. You know, just ensure that, you know, I started talking about your exposure to the things of spirit and also your openness to the supernatural world and the existence of the spiritual world, and be open to spiritual activities. Yeah, they'll talk about having, you know, tongues, voraciously speaking in tongues, and, you know, speaking it in a consistent method, a consistent pattern, you know, and just having that mindset, having that pattern or lifestyle to incorporate tongues into your daily life. Then we spoke about your devotion generally, coming to church. You know, you can come to church, you can be in church at the right time, be readily available at the right time. No excuse. You can actually live a Christian life for 50 years without giving excuses. Men have done it altogether. Men have done it. Men have done it. You see, some, 99% of you didn't know that on Sunday it was a miracle that I stood in front of you all to preach, because I had a sprained back. Yeah, on the Saturday, on the night before, right, on the Saturday evening, right, I was just about to, you know, do a few things, and I just had crack. My back literally had a crack, right, and I couldn't move, right. Yeah, thankful for the ministry of Sister Steph, for instance, who laid hands on me and, you know, prayed with me. Like I said, yeah, we can be able to receive from ourselves, right? Yeah, and she laid hands on me and prayed with me. And that was the only miracle that made me come to church on Sunday. And I stood all through preaching, right? But nobody would have known. There are days where you will see some of you know the days when I travel all the way from London through a night bus, or in just because I want to be with the saints. I travel from 10 p.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m. all the way to 8 a.m. Get back home just not to even sit. Get back home just to change my clothes, straight to church for 9 o'clock, and I teach all the way till 12:31. Yeah? What excuse can I possibly have? I was together. You know, sometimes you see me on Wednesdays, I come here, right? And sometimes you can gauge, like today, you could gauge that. Well, Pastor seems to be very tired. Might have been struggling to yawn. And I'm human. Why would I yawn? I'm a human. Are we together? So just to make you see, that's not the most convenient. Serving Jesus will not always be convenient. No, don't give yourself excuse. Don't give yourself excuse. Don't give yourself excuse. Like I said, anything you give yourself excuse for, you never plan to do it. Yeah, don't give yourself excuse. A few weeks, few months ago, an ambulance came to the house to see me. I was feeling that bad on a Saturday. Guess what? I was in church again on a Sunday and I ministered. I'm not saying that, anybody that, you know, goes and they don't go, there's a place to rest. I try as much as possible to rest. Yeah, I try as much as I can to rest. But some of us are resting. We are not doing anything. What are you resting for? You've not labored in the kingdom. You've not labored over souls. You don't have people you are discipling. You've been a Christian for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. You cannot point to one person who their doctrinal persuasion is because you are committed to Jesus. I'm saying that they have doctrinal questions, they reach out to you. Right, you have something you want to teach, you greet out to them, you teach them. No, for 3, 4, 5 years, you don't have that practice. No, it's not fair. It's not fair in your Christian life. Yeah, the journey is far, right? We trust God's spirit that we're going to stay in health, sound health for years and decades to come. We trust God's spirit that we're going to remain committed to his cause. We trust God's spirit that we're going to remain in ministry. Right, and once we trust God's spirit, we'll make deliberate effort, intentional effort to stay committed. We'll check our health, we'll be in good health, we'll do our physical health checkups, we'll have interactions with doctors, we'll modify our lifestyle, we'll do things in natural, but we'll trust and believe and receive supernatural help for the days ahead, right? For the journey is far. Yeah, and we will stay in health, perfect health. We'll stay in health, right? We'll stay in health. We'll rest when we need to rest. We'll do a little rest when we need to rest. Then we'll jump up again. We'll rest a little, then fire. I was together. You know, someone was asking me that. When I went to Nigeria earlier on the year, I was asking, why did I travel all the way? Well, my answer was just, well, I need to refuel myself. That is where I get, you know, built up. And, you know, it's just something that you need to ensure you do as yourself. And that's not the only time I do it in a year altogether, right? So I have my personal times, I have my days, just ensure that you build a culture that will make the journey is far. Maybe I'll title this series, The Journey is Far. Yeah. It's not that a spiritual gift, definitely, but I think I've tried to, like I said, I've used this series to talk more about your temperature. So I'm talking to you, listening to me today, who you know. There's nobody who your temperature is low for Jesus, you know, that you don't know. The moment you don't know, first of all, that's a problem. Do you understand? Yeah. But if you have that love for Jesus, there's no how you will not know. That spiritual fervency, your temperature is very low. You will know. Yeah, so I just use this teaching to admonish, each and every one of you. Get yourself, stirred up for the coming year. Start today. Don't wait till 2025. All of us like to wait for New Year Revolution, New Year, New Me, New Year, New Me. We said it this year. Are we together? We're now seeing the old you. No. You can have every new second as a new, there's a man that says that the next second is the future. The next second is the future. And that's a very good way to view life. The next second is the future. So when I grow up in the future, no, the next second is the future. Do what you can with it. Do what you can with it. A lot of us, see, the strength you have today, you will not always have it all your life. Yeah, you will not be as agile as you are today. Are we together? In the next 50 years, if you are 50 today, you are not this way 10 years ago, 30 years ago. There are things you will eat, there are places you will go. Yeah, but you must also see that as well for yourself. If you're in you're a teenager, you are in your 20s and your 30s, you're in your 40s, yeah, you will not always have the strength that you have. Right, but you can actually store up strength, right? Actually store up, strength in devotion. You can store up strength in devotion and patterns. You can store up strength in devotion and pattern. You can store up a lot. Just do a lot. Make that commitment that you will serve Jesus. Make up that commitment that on Sunday as I come to church, I will give clear words of knowledge. I will edify, I will bring direction to people. You can already even know what you will say before Sunday service. It can happen. You can know what you will say before Sunday service. So that once you just, because Paul says, when you all come together, every one of you are the same, every one of you are the same. Well, welcome to my TED Talk for this evening. I don't know how that meeting went that way, but I trust that you've been instructed by that. Well, I'll see you again on Sunday. Have a lovely night rest. See you on Sunday. Come around together again. We'll have a good time of fellowship. Like I said, let me just say one more time, right? And then we're going to have evangelism, I believe, on Sunday as well. So come ready. Come ready. Come ready. Come with your jackets because the weather is getting cold. Come with your jackets. Come warm, right? Because we'll go out to reach out to the lost on Sunday. Well, have a lovely night. Good night. Cheers. I love you all.